you for your word. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your spirit. And thank you now for Keith. And thank you for all that you've been showing him and teaching him these last few weeks. And we pray that you will discern amongst all the notes and all the things that he's heard what he needs to speak to us. Bless you, Keith. Amen.
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 And so we'll start with I've asked Carol. Stick that on, Barry. And then Carol's going to bring us the reading.
Thank you.
The reading today is from Acts 11, starting at verse 1, continuing to verse 18. So that's Acts 11, verse 1. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of the uncircumcised men and women and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven, its four corners, down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all poured up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you will all and your household be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Amen.
Amen. And it's those last few words that I want to focus on a bit this morning. And in another translation it says, "God has allowed the people who are not Jews to turn to him and live." And that's the call for us today, is to turn to him and live. Perhaps someone could just help me move this table out of the way. If you could do that, would be lovely. You could take it that way, it'd be great. You probably all had an experience similar to one that I've had recently, waking in the night and in the dark, going around trying to find something without disturbing anyone. I expect you've had the feeling you're kind of groping in a dark room. And what I want you to imagine is you're doing all of that and then suddenly someone switches the light on. Bam, you glare, you can't see a thing, you still can't find what you want just for a moment, and then you can see what's going on. And I think that's something what this story is all about, because this is a moment when the church were moving along, trying to find something, not quite knowing their way, and suddenly something amazing happens to them. And light falls upon them. That's what this story is about. And I just want you to reflect for a moment. Are you at a point where you're looking for something and maybe not quite seeing it? So as we come to this passage in Acts chapter 11, it's kind of a reprise of all that's happened in Acts chapter 10, which was perhaps reported by Luke much more from the viewpoint of Cornelius, with a bit about Peter in the middle. Now, Luke likes to repeat things when he wants to emphasise something, and I'm sure that's what is happening here. But before we get to this passage, we need to think a bit about, well, what is Luke about? Luke is the writer of Acts. He's telling a story of the life of the church. He's talking about how the church is geographically spreading from a few disciples huddled together in an upper room to a worldwide movement that covered the whole of the known world. But at the same time, as he goes through the story, we see that this young church, if we call it a church, we should call it that for simplicity, this young church was still trying to understand really all that Jesus had for them, what God was all about. And certainly as Peter went to Cornelius' house, I don't know what his expectation would have been. He was going to a God-fearing person who'd invited him to talk to them, and presumably they wanted Peter to explain to them something about Jesus and what he believed. But in all probability, Peter was expecting Cornelius to get to a point where he'd say, actually, I really do love this Jewish saviour of yours. Can I be circumcised with my family and become a Jew and know this saviour? That's probably what Peter was thinking. Possibly Cornelius wasn't anxious for that. That wasn't quite what he was hoping for. But what he was someone who was God-fearing and wanted to find out something more about the Jesus who he'd heard about, who'd been roaming around in the region of Israel. And yeah, he'd probably heard stories about him. And he certainly heard stories about Peter, so he'd invited him to come and speak. Peter also on his mind would probably be thinking, Jesus sent me out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We were told to wait at Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And I remember that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon us and filled us with the Spirit of God. And some of us spoke in tongues and all sorts of other things happened, exciting things happened. And many people describe this story as the Gentile Pentecost, because this is the story of Gentiles suddenly speaking in tongues. But the important thing for me today and for us today isn't that the Gentiles spoke in tongues as that they had the gift, but that God was letting them into the same kingdom that he was letting the Jews into. And that was astonishing and surprising to the believers there. So if we go to Acts 10 and verse 45, it says, we'll read from verse 44 because it's pretty, quite a bit more in Acts 10, but in verse 44 we pick up the same thing we had here in Acts 11. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Where are we in my... So there's the text. When I was a young person living in Cricklewood in North London, one of the features in the neighbourhood was one of these. Now, this isn't the one that was in Cricklewood. It's quite a modern, well looked after one. But I recall walking around Cricklewood, and it does say it's a public call box there. But I knew as a young person, my parents told me, you cannot go in there. That is for policemen and people with a special purpose. Then, sometime in November, I think it was, 1993, I saw Doctor Who on the television. And there was something amazing about that box. It was massive on the inside. Huge. Now, I think that wasn't real. But for me, that just shows something of how perhaps Cornelius had felt. He'd wanted to come into knowing about what it was Peter was sharing, the good news. He didn't really fully understand it, and he kind of thought he was one of the people who wasn't allowed to go inside. And then he invites Peter, and something astonishing happens to him, and the whole thing is flung open, the kingdom of God flung open wide, so that those who love and trust Jesus, without any more ado, turn to Jesus and they can enter the kingdom. We'll just move that on a bit. Okay. Well, why is that so important? You see, Peter had already been talking. It's interesting, in chapter 11, it says, I had just begun to talk. That's when Peter reporting his sermon. If you go back to chapter 10, he had actually been talking for a little while. And it's been lovely this morning. We've actually said the name of Jesus numerous times. And we're going to come to that in just a moment. I'm just going to read what Peter said in a little while. But the Jews at that time were expecting, they were wanting a Messiah. They wanted someone to deliver them. And actually, I do want to just turn you to one of my favourite texts of the Old Testament. From 2 Kings. The prophet Elijah summoned a man from the company of the prophets and said to him, tuck your cloak into your belt, take this flask of olive oil with you, and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you get there, look for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go to him, get him away from his companions, and take him into an inner room. Then take the flask and pour the oil on his head and declare, this is what the Lord says, I anoint you king over Israel. Then open the door and run, don't delay. It's so exciting to think, suddenly this person, I don't understand why, but he's got to run like the clappers to get away from Jehu. Now, I don't know if you remember who Jehu was, but he was anointed king over Israel. And his job, he then went ahead and cleared out a whole load of evil that was happening in evil. And he had a dynamic complaint. He ended up by slaughtering Jezebel and Ahab and all the other people. He swept away whole amount of the evil that he saw going on in Israel. And there's some extent in which all of the kings of Israel that were expected the Messiah, the Jesus were expecting someone to come in and sort stuff out. There are various prophecies of various things about the Messiah is going to come and deliver Israel. They think of Moses, who came and delivered Israel from Egypt. They had an expectation now, and it must have been very interesting for Peter going to this centurion. They had the expectation that the Romans would be flung out of Israel and that a king of Israel could take control again. Now, I think Peter had already begun to understand something different from Jesus. And in fact, many of the prophets say different things. But some of the things that Israel was looking for was a day when no longer will someone filled with spirit teach their neighbour or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So there's an idea of being delivered from external oppression, but also the idea coming in that actually people's sins need to be dealt with and God is going to deal with them. And Jesus, when he came, was a man of peace. He said, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. So there was wrestling with a change in what was expected of Jesus. And John the Baptist appeared. And he said, I baptize you with water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Some of the early words of Acts. So Peter and those who accompanied him already had an idea that things were a bit different from what was in their head about Israel. But nevertheless, when he got to Cornelius, he did start trying to explain to him something of the hope that Israel had. And just to give you a bit of a feel for how it went, I'd just like to read what it says in Acts 10. And we normally put in pronouns so that to make the reading a bit easier. But instead of putting the pronouns, every time it says he or him, I'm going to say Jesus. And you'll get a bit of an idea of what's going on here. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So he'd already got to that point of thinking, yeah, this Cornelius is going to be accepted somehow. You know that God met the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling them the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how Jesus went around doing good and healing all who are under the power of the devil, because God was with Jesus. We are witnesses of everything Jesus did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Jesus by hanging Jesus on a tree, but God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day and caused Jesus to be seen. Jesus was not seen by all the people, but by the witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And it was good for us to remember as we took communion, those who ate and drank with Jesus. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that Jesus is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's been great that we've been singing about Jesus this morning, because even to the Gentile, Peter focuses all of his message on the hope of a Messiah for Israel, and that that Messiah was Jesus. It's just a moment of light. And we've got 10 more minutes, so I'll move on. Oh, let's go back a moment. You're probably guessing what's coming on next. One of the other things that's happened to me over years is we visited, a couple of years ago, we went to the Blue John Cave in Derbyshire. I don't know, have you visited caves? Have you had that experience? You go down and the light is fairly dim, and then it gets very quite dim, and you're walking into the clay cave and you're not quite sure what's going on. And then the guide says, come, can you all come together, please? Get a bit closer, please. Come on, everyone get through. A bit closer, tight space. Can't see much at all. And in a moment, I'm going to switch on the lights. Then you switch on the light. You blink.
And suddenly you're in a huge space with glittering walls and beautiful stalactites and stalagmites. You've come into something wonderful and different. Okay, this one isn't very... It's not a great photo, is it, to be honest? So we'll move on. See, that was Peter's experience and the disciples who were with him. They were astonished that the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. That was amazing. What's more, the church in Jerusalem, there were people who thought that wasn't quite appropriate. But Peter said, well, when he was with Cornelius, well, God's done it. I can't argue with God. I've got to get on and do it. So that was what he did. And so that is essentially what happens here then in Acts chapter 11. Peter's explaining all the events that took place. He went and visited Cornelius and so on. And these brothers came with me and we entered the man's house. He told us how he'd seen an angel. As I began to speak, well, you've had a bit of an idea of what he did speak about. He did say more than good morning. As I was about to speak, and probably Peter was going to talk a whole lot longer, to be honest, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit came on the whole company and God moved the whole thing on a bit. They switched the lights on earlier than I expected. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had came on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to think that I could oppose God? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. And I think that is important for us too. I'm not completely certain about my family background. No one in my family has done the research of my history. But I'm reasonably confident that I'm a Gentile. Can't be certain. And probably if I went back enough generations, I could find some Jewish roots in the family, because I'm probably also related to King Henry VIII. But it's important because the door has been flung open. As a little child, I couldn't go into that police box. As a Gentile, I possibly couldn't enter into all the goodness of Israel. But God has changed and moved on in Jesus the way he wants to bless the world.
Amen.
And so, I just want to sum up. So the conclusion of the council was, God has allowed the people who are not Jews to turn to him and live. You know, if you were looking this morning for something, God has said it's a chance for you to turn to him and live. You might have found it was a bit dark, but I pray that God's Spirit would have shown you the same light that he showed to Cornelius and to the Christians and the families who were with him in Caesarea and to the church in Jerusalem who said, turn to him and live. This is truly good news. There is a way, there is truth, and there is life in Jesus. You know, the way to God's blessing is open. It might have seemed a narrow door once, but now the door is wide open for all who turn, repent of their sins, to experience God's peace, to know forgiveness. It's open to Jews and to non-Jews. It's open to you and to me. It's open to me and to you. So this morning, perhaps you've heard the message of God and want to respond. The invitation today is the same, to believe in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. To trust that Jesus will save you. That's the invitation. To turn to him. Turn from your sins. Turn from the things that are wrong in your life and turn to Jesus. If you feel God has been speaking to you, then in a few moments I'll invite you to come forward. And we'll be delighted to pray with you. But let's bow our heads for a moment as we listen to God's voice. I'm going to invite Susan to lead us in our final song. If you'd like to respond to the Jesus who loves you and calls you, then I invite you to come forward now and we can pray with you. And we can do that while Susan leads us in our final song.